You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Fergie Time podcast, everybody's favourite football podcast, which is coming out of Daily Record HQ with myself, Keith Jackson, and the headline act, Barry Ferguson. We've got a lot to discuss this week, Barry. It's been a busy week already. It's going to get busier as we go on. We've had a Rangers AGM, we're having a Celtic AGM today, European football on Thursday night, of course, and back into league business at the weekend. So much to discuss. But I think, given that it's been such a sort of a bombshell news on Tuesday that Dave King has decided to step away or has declared his intention to step away, Barry, let's start there. First of all, your thoughts on this news. Is there any reason for Rangers fans to be concerned?
No, he's pointed that out.
And you believe him?
Yes, I do, because I've got to be honest with you. I think he's done a decent job. I'll be honest with you, I know he said he's critics and understand where these people are coming from, but overall, you look where from he took over to where they are now, you've got to say it's been a success.
I cannot and would not attest. I mean, when you actually think about Rangers were having AGMs in gazebos.
Yep.
The fans were in revolt. Boards that were in there to strip the place and bleed it dry. There is no doubt, and there was no doubt right from the very start when Dave King came into Rangers that he was wanting to do what was best for the football club. He wasn't in there to do it for himself.
Yep.
But there's been sketchy details around it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's quite sure how much has gone in. Nobody's sure how the thing's been properly funded. I mean, we know it's loans that are getting converted to shares, but it's sort of a make it up as you go along strategy, which hasn't helped with the clarity. And I still feel, Barry, right at the death when he's about to leave, it's still a little bit up in the air. There's still a little bit of mystery around the whole thing.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but I think the fans look at the main thing.
The performances on the pitch, night and day.
What's happening on the pitch now? He's made a mistake or two with managers in the past,
mm-hmm.
i.e. Pedro Coutinho coming in, which was a failure. And then 18 months ago was probably make or break for him.
That's the biggest decision and the thing that...
And I think it's the biggest...
should safeguard his legacy.
Yeah, I think his legacy should be safeguarded anyway. I'll be honest with you, I know where you're coming from. Details, financial details, where the money's coming from. We all know where the money's coming from. It's coming from the three big names.
The Three Bears and
Three
Dave
Bears,
King.
Yep. And Dave King or whoever
Julian
else.
Julian Waltart, who's on the board as well.
Yeah, I've seen he was at the game.
He's brought investment in.
He's brought investment in, but it's no ultra clear. That's mm-hmm. what you're saying. And I get where you're coming from, but for me, as a fan, the thing that you look at is a product that's happening on the pitch. The amount of things, it was interesting that when he spoke about, and I heard about it, and I think we spoke about it on the phone, was Ibrox, the state it was in.
Yeah.
The state that at the time it was, I know it's called Hummel Training Centre now, the state that Murray Park was in. There's been a lot of investment put in that, and it's still no up to scratch in terms of the stadium, what it should be, Ibrox, but the Hummel Training Centre is, and a lot of people forget all that as well.
There is a lot of money going into
that.
You said to me, actually, when you turned up, what was it, for one of these charity games?
I turned up for Fernando's.
You couldn't believe the state of the place.
At the time, God bless him, when he was alive, it was his benefit game, and I turned up to do an interview upstairs in one of the suites. And at normal Ibrox, you walk in, I just love the feeling when you open the doors. In front of you, you've got the reception desk, and then you've got a marble staircase. I just love it. It was the same, because it's obviously old fashioned. I walked up and I went into the one of the suites, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. When I was there previously, it was spick and span, but at that stage when I walked in, wallpaper was peeling off the wall, carpets were taped together, and the guys that are in that suite pay a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. What is that, one of the...
It's just up when you go, I think it's the...
Members suite?
The members suite, that's the one you've got.
Well, that's right next to the sort of the director's box in the main
that's
stand,
next to
it?
The blue room.
Right.
The blue room's right in front of you when you come up. Mm-hmm. When you come up, sorry, at the top of the marble staircase, mm-hmm. you turn right and then there's the members
suite. So that's
suite.
One of the most salubrious sought-after...
That's where all your corporate proper areas. Rangers fans go and pay very good money, and I couldn't believe my eyes, and that was sad for me. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things you've got to give Dave King credit for.
I think a lot of money has been spent on that, and I think...
A hell of a lot, and there still needs a lot of money spent, mm-hmm. but he's put his money where his mouth is. That's what I've got to give him credit at. Aye, there's been some things that the Sports Direct thing, it's kept going on and on and on. But
not necessarily a problem of his doing, but no, a battle that he thought he had to...
But I think overall, he deserves a real pat in the back and a big thank you for what he's done.
I've always been sceptical of Dave King for a number of reasons, not least because, you know, he's quite an abrasive character. He's cut to the point of being actually quite rude.
I think it's shy.
Could be. But he's also a guy who likes a bit of combat, who likes an argument, who loves a legal fight, and there's little bits, but I think overwhelmingly, I think over the 5 years, you would have to say, no, he's been as good as his word. Well, he said he was going to put the money in. He has actually put the money.
For me, I speak to my mates that go to games, who pay good money to go to, i.e. these suites, or season books, mm-hmm. that my sons do have, and they see a difference. And that's the people that I think know better.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fair.
So for me, overall, I think he's done a very good job. Now he thinks it's time for other people to come in. I do not think he would leave it unless he didn't believe that these people were the right people. Now you've got the right people. For instance, Douglas Park at the side, he's an astute businessman, he's a clever man,
he's also put a lot of money in.
He's put a lot of money in, and he will not let anything happen. I bet my bottom dollar on that. So I think he's left it in a better... It would have been easy to leave it in a better place in the state it was in when they took over, but he's left it in a healthier position. Yeah, there's a bit of debt, but I think there's people behind the scenes that can cover that.
Maybe I'm overly sceptical where Dave King is concerned, because I must give the guy credit for the job that he's done. When you consider that Rangers were a championship side that couldn't get out of the championship.
Yep, bang on.
That they were, you know, trying to win, what was that, the Challenge Cup, that was the trophy they were aiming for at the time.
Right, what was the name of that?
The Challenge Cup.
They got beat with Raith Rovers.
Yeah.
At Easter Road.
Yeah.
What was the name of it? There was
Challenge
a name.
Cup.
Aye, but who sponsored that? I mean,
Iron Brew?
No.
No.
Was it Ram? No, wasn't it Ram?
Ramsden's.
There
the
you
Ramsden's
go.
Ramsden's Cup.
There you go.
So that was the level that, mm-hmm. that he came in. Mm-hmm. And I think his first game in charge was, if I'm not very much mistaken, Cowdenbeath away. And I think it might even have been a draw. And Rangers had to get away. The bus had to get away early because the stock car racing was starting an hour later. That was the starting point.
Yeah.
And when you consider that he's leaving point now, they're a fortnight away from a Betfred Cup final against Celtic. They're sitting neck and neck, nip and tuck at the top of the league with Celtic. And they're going to Feyenoord, trying to get a place in the last 32 of the Europa League. Mm-hmm. I think when you just look at that in isolation, you have to hand it to him and say,
that
is a tremendous job.
I know the fans want to make sure that the club's in a healthy position off the pitch. It's in a bit of debt, but I think it's in a good place. The main thing for the Rangers fans is what's happening on the pitch. The last 18 months, I think, has been very good. Certainly the first 12 months was Gerrard's first year, mm-hmm. as a manager. It was going to take a bit of time. I never thought they were going to ever pip Celtic to the league, but at least there was signs. And then I think this year, you've just mentioned, sitting top of the league with Celtic, albeit behind them in goal difference. And I think they're doing really well in Europe. They're going to Feyenoord tomorrow night. I think they'll go over there and get a point, if no 3 points. That's how confident I'm. They're in the final of the League Cup. Season tickets are
through the roof.
The fans, well, to be honest with you, even when they were in this League Two, the fans came.
Turned up.
Yeah. The fans will always turn up. But there's a different atmosphere about the place now. And the guy at the top of the tree is going to be giving
all
credit
my
for
point
that.
Is, I saw some quotes from Ian Durant saying it's almost time to build a statue to this guy for what he's done. And I can see the logic in that. If you're saying this is the guy that took them, because if you bear in mind the state of that boardroom, Mike Ashley's proxy board that were in at the time, the damage that was getting done to the club, the fact the fans were staying away, Dave King effectively, when he got inside that boardroom and conducted and oversaw that coup, he basically dragged that club back from the brink.
Right.
It was getting dangerously close to the brink again. And he's leaving it in a position which is absolutely night and day. On that basis, I can see the argument, build this guy a statue. He's the guy that saved the club. He turned the whole club around. I'm just saying, if it was me, and maybe because I take a cynical view on stuff, I would wait and see how it plays out a little bit. I find the timing strange. I know he's got business stuff to take care of in South Africa, but having worked so hard over such a period of time to get Rangers so far into a different place and drag them up from where he found them, to then jump at this point, a couple of months away, because he's saying it'll be 4 months, so you're looking at January, February, March. Well, you've only got 2 months to find out if you're the guy that's actually won that title or delivered a cup, or I just find it strange. Well, and that's a little thing.
Aye, but that's
a little red flag.
I think you're being a bit cynical. I think that's Dave King's issue to speak about. I don't know why he's done it. But when the news broke yesterday, and there's always rumours what's going to happen. There's going to be new investment, I'm hearing as well, in the turn of the year. For me, overall, I look at the big picture and I look in a positive way. I think the guy's been very, very good for Rangers.
Did I tell you what a little bit of concern as well? I heard on the Monday that Dave King was very likely to stand down or to announce that he was going to stand down. See the misinformation around it? I happen to know there was another newspaper that contacted Rangers on the Saturday hearing similar things, and they were told, no, there's no intention of Dave King to stand down. And then on the Monday, there was a real fog around the thing again, a lack of clarity, a lack of Rangers being open and honest on it, in a PR sense. And I look at that and I think, well, what's the reason for that? And maybe that's what makes a journalist maybe me suspicious.
Maybe he wanted to let people know at the AGM. That was his final AGM, let the shareholders... No.
But misinformation and deliberate untruths are getting peddled.
I think you're being a bit too cynical.
Maybe it's nothing to do with Dave King. Maybe it's all to do with the PR side of it.
You surprised the PR side of it?
I didn't say it was either. I find it strange. And it does raise a little...
The only thing I'm concerned is Dave King done a good job. Rangers football team are in a very good place. Who cares about the PR side?
Aye, well, there's a lot of money get spent in PR. To do good jobs for corporate clients.
I think that's for another podcast.
Yes, probably. So, that was the big event yesterday.
Yeah.
The Tuesday. There was another big event on the Tuesday, just to drip back into Barry's personal life. What were you doing yesterday?
I was at a dentist.
Getting? And this wasn't just any ordinary dentist.
Oh, it was my normal dentist.
Is that just an ordinary?
Just my every 6 month checkup dentist.
No, it wasn't.
Aye, it was.
Aye, but this wasn't an ordinary 6 month checkup.
Aye, listen, I'm getting
the full Roberto Firmino's.
No, getting right. Listen, I'm not going to be as bad as Bobby Firmino or Bobby Malcolm.
Has he got him as well?
Aye, he's. Have you not seen?
No.
Jesus. No, listen, I was going to get it done because you know what it's like when you play, you get a few elbows, get a few cracked teeth, they get sorted, they're not perfect. As you get older, your gums start to...
Yes.
What's the word recede. I'm looking for? Recede. Yes, they started to recede a bit. And then I thought, well, I'm 40, I'm coming up in 42 soon, and I'll go and get my teeth.
Just 42.
I'll go and get some of my teeth sorted, so I'm getting my top rack sorted, and they're not going to be bright white things that you're going to...
They're going to tone in
with my rest of the teeth. Don't you worry, I've already warned the dentist about it. And I seen them yesterday.
In a jar?
he put them on and they were fine, they were good. So I've got temps in the now.
See, this is brilliant though. And see, if it's not a plant-based diet, it's new teeth. This is a side, I promised... When we started this Fergie Time podcast, that our listeners would hear a whole different side of you. Oh. They've now seen it. There's always something going on. You're always up to something.
I'm always up to something. I just, as I says to you, you know what it's like yourself. I mean, my next one is I'll probably get my nose sorted because it's been broke 4 times. No, I'm having problems breathing.
Right.
I'm having problems sleeping at night.
So sort of a Caitlyn Jenner.
No, it's just gradually getting worse. And I actually spoke to the doctor about it. And... You know, it's like I got broke 4 times during my career, and it's pointless getting it fixed. You just get it whacked back into place.
Again the next week.
Aye, because you could go out and you could head up back of somebody's head, or somebody could fly an elbow into your dish or whatever. You know what I mean? So I'm having struggling to breathe. So
that's
it's not getting to get a nose job. I'm getting to get my look. You could see it here. It's a bit crooked. So. That might be my next thing.
Right. Anything else after that? Anything else? Any other operations needing? Have you been watching The Jungle?
To be honest, I've been missing it, obviously, Tuesday, Thursday night, because I can't see it.
I love The Jungle.
I'm training. Oh, I love The Jungle as well. Eating Right's brilliant.
Yeah. He's my winner.
Oh, he's top notch. Just, I love him. Yeah, right. I love him. But anyway, listen, there's nothing up with that. As I says, I'm not getting these like Ryland things. No Ryland.
Ryland Clark.
You see on This Morning and that.
Yeah,
big things like that. Don't worry about that. Or well, I've got to worry about that. But
what if that's what the guy tells you?
No,
once they're in, mate.
No, he showed me that away to the lab. He put the temps in that I'm going to be getting, and it was fine. Then he's put
Rylands.
Obviously, I'm not getting white. It's pointless getting 8. White teeth at the top and the rest of them are off white. And I look stupid.
I actually thought you were going to come in here like Steptoe and son today because
you see, I've got
they're false, legitimate false teeth that I'm looking at just now.
Uh-huh.
But they actually look, I would see no difference to be fair.
Yep, exactly. But what's going to happen is these are just going to be a bit bigger on this side because I broke my jaw.
Right.
My jaw slopes a bit. So automatically your teeth slope a bit.
If anybody's and still plus, listening, this plus, is the Fergie Time plus, podcast.
Plus, I'm grinding my teeth in my sleep.
I think I do that as well.
And he says to me, so he's gave me a mouth guard. Oh, I can't wear it.
So like rugby players wear.
You got to go to sleep
with it.
Because quite a lot of people, it's quite a normal thing.
Yeah.
That people grind their teeth during sleep. I'm grinding one side, so he's got us this kind of. Teeth guard, mouth guard, whatever you want to call it. Can't wear it.
Was that not meant to be something to do with your anger problems as well? The angry grinding of teeth?
No, the days are finished.
But that was a symptom?
No,
no.
Well, unless I'm getting angry during my sleep. That's a worry. Isn't it? That's a worry. I'll be honest with you, it was sore.
Right.
Like, see, I'm fine with Jags, right? I'm fine with them.
Oof.
Don't mind them the side of my mouth, because if you're getting a filling, I've always had a jag in the side of my mouth or whatever, but the front,
That's the one that makes your nose
eyes
go watery. Numb and that sort of thing.
Eyes watery and that, but listen. I'm not the only person that's...
It's all about self-improvement, Barry. There's nothing the matter with that.
When to get their teeth sorted, and it's... quite a lot of football players will tell you, bang, I don't know many times
something
I come
you
off
do it, after your career.
I don't know many times I come off a pitch with a chipped tooth or whatever that you go and get it.
Well, let's get back to football, right? Well, we've still got somebody listening, right? European football this week. In fact, it's the AGM, but the Celtic AGM is going on while we are recording this. However, one of the key issues going into it is a bit of a rift developing between the club and the notorious Green Brigade.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I criticised them for, I felt, effectively painting a target in the back of every other Celtic fan that was going to the Lazio away game with the banners, the offensive nature of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm the last guy to say that, you know, we should be nice to fascists. We shouldn't. But I think various steps, marks were went overboard with the various banners, the Brigate Verde, which was a nod to another terrorist group back in the 1970s, Italy. Just stuff that was totally unnecessary. And I have to say, I have to applaud the club for taking a stand here and saying, guys, we've warned you, we've told you repeatedly.
How many times have
we keep getting fined? About 19 times right now.
What's that added up to, the fines?
And well, it's buttons. It's about 15 grand a fine.
But it's no buttons.
Effectively, well,
it's buttons in terms of Celtic, the amount of money they've got in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's a quarter of a million quid, probably, over the years.
I bet it's over a short period. What, 2 years? You can't keep getting fined. They're going to end up, what's going to happen is, you can't keep fining them, they're going to end up shutting parts of the stadium down.
Well, that's what they're doing for this, the game against Ren.
Aye, they're shutting part of the Green Brigade.
Aye, but that's Celtic's decision. If they don't do something, then UEFA might turn in and say, well,
while they're doing that, if something else happens, it could become a quarter stadium, half a stadium, a full stadium. That's when it affects.
Yeah.
So Celtic have took a clear stance. I know there's,
I applaud them because it's a difficult one.
It's a difficult because they're obviously Celtic supporters that go and want to see their team win, but obviously they're using banners or whatever.
They're politicising the football club,
and it's no helping them. So Celtic have took a clear stance on it. It's no helping them. It's no helping them because you know what you want. I always say it, no matter if it's at Ibrox or at Celtic Park. See, when you've got a full stadium there, even when you take a small, I mean, you see when the effect was it Rangers, wasn't it?
Yeah.
If you take a small part out of
the stadium,
that
was for the Young Boys game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was at 3,000-4,000 fans. Yeah. And actually, one of my mates missed it because it was his block or his area.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to move him about and he actually couldn't get a ticket for it. Where he just goes with his boy to watch the game. So it's going to end up
impacts upon fans that are completely innocent.
Aye, it's going to end up impacting not just on the fans that are completely innocent. Also, it'll start to feed onto the pitch and feed
and
on
the
through the and feed through the
because
club.
Because you
so
famously played in a closed door,
horrible,
behind closed doors Champions League match.
I'm telling you, you remember when we go on the plane, the sponsors come with you.
Yeah.
25 to 30 sponsors who come stay in the same hotel as you and they get wined
and
dined.
How it works, let's explain to everybody. You get a charter flight to go to these matches. Uh-huh. Players and management and coach and staff all got on at the front of the plane. You've then got a middle section which is like for directors and corporate supporters who are paid
X amount of money.
A lot of money to go on these flights. And then at the back of the plane, where we belong,
you've got a riffraff.
The press.
Ah, you've got a riffraff basically. You've got used down in the wee bottles of vodka and all sorts.
Yes.
But anyway, played at Inter Milan in the San Siro. We had 25-30 corporate get obviously supporters there because they support Rangers. You've got the board of directors, so you probably get 35-40 fans. Inter Milan would have the same. Horrendous.
Press box.
It just felt like just a training match, and it was
it was the most surreal. But I was there reporting on the match in the press box.
Man.
It was the most surreal. What? And it felt like this.
No,
was,
surreal.
A million miles away from a Champions League match.
I'll be honest with you, I just never enjoyed it. You're playing at the San Siro.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing against Inter Milan.
It should be a bucket list job.
Why? Mm-hmm. You should be playing in front of 80,000 or whatever the stadium holds. You're playing against top end footballers. So you should be playing in front of a partisan crowd, as I said, top team going and pitting your wits against it. And then it just felt eerie for the word go coming in, no fans outside the stadium. Felt it was like the night before where you go and train.
Turning up for a reserve game. Yeah.
No, where you go and train the night before the game at the stadium, where you go in and everything's all right. When you're in the dressing room, you're away from everything, so you're fully focused on what's happening. Right, ready to go, warm up, 40 minutes before the game, let's go, high-fiving everybody, and then we go out and there's nobody. And it's trying to get, it's, you're
the
trying to do it yourself.
The weird thing is, when you're up in the press box watching that, you can hear the shouts on the pitch.
Aye.
That's ridiculous. It makes it feel eerie.
But then you go back in, 5 minutes before the game, you switch off of that, there's nobody out there. Then you're fully focused, ready to go again, and then you go out and you start playing in a Champions League game.
Well, they play the Champions League anthem, didn't they? Aye. It was ghosting about, echoing about, rattling about the place.
You couldn't hear it right.
Because the acoustics had all changed, because there was nobody in the stadium.
Yep. And it was just... it just wasn't right.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's
we're not saying that Celtic are
no
are about to play in front of closed doors, but
just got to be careful
from a player's perspective. That the point is, you guys are wanting the biggest atmosphere, the most amount
of fans. I've sampled it away from home, where there's been parts of sections wherever we've played. It's known that you want to play wherever you go, whether it's home or away. You want to play in front of a full house, and if it continues, UEFA, FIFA, whoever it is, it decides. Might say, right, do you know what, we've had enough of this. Bang, half a stadium.
It's a wee, what annoys me about it is it's a little selfish streak. It's like, we're more important, we've got to be heard, we deserve to be heard, we're entitled to be heard.
No, the most important people at a football club's the football club itself and the players.
Yeah, but we don't mind and damaging the reputation.
But the fans are mega important, but if there is a small section that are damaging it, it might affect other fans who go there and sing and cheer on the team, but they go ultimately watch their team win a game of football.
Mm-hmm. Right, well, we'll find out more from the results of that Celtic AGM later on today, but what we can look forward to at this point are two, and this is good because we can get back to just concentrating away from teeth, away from plant-based diets, away from fans, Dave King, football. And we've got, you know, Celtic-Rennes, a game that Celtic can afford to lose, can afford to send out the reserves if they want.
Mm-hmm.
But if they win it, then they go through the top of that group, gives themselves a far better chance in the knockout stages of progression to the last 16. So what do you expect? If you're Neil Lennon at this point in the season, are you thinking, I need to just rest some limbs?
No, I think he'll be... no... he'll be obviously talking amongst his staff, but for me, keeping the same team
as strong as possible.
I think if you ask any of the players, look, maybe I think you're right, but as a footballer, you want to play, and I think as a manager, he want to play his strongest team.
So if
players
you've got,
enjoy
if you've
playing,
got a player that might be carrying something, one or two, just say, right, set this one,
which is understandable.
But if you're 80-90% fit, let's get you out there.
If they're ready to go. If you ask a footballer, if you play a Sunday, Thursday, continue, they would rather do that than train and miss out in a game.
Plus, because they're in a good building place, rhythm and momentum, aren't they?
Exactly, they're in a good place. A lot of players are on top form. I think he might, as you says, I think he might be right in that. He might make one or two changes. Who has maybe been carrying a niggly injury? But if everybody
is
declaring, right, do you know what, I'm ready to go, I think he'll send out his strongest team.
Because what he has got is a long away trip to Ross County on the Sunday.
Aye.
So you will have to have one. I mean, this is the luxury of doing what Celtic have done in this group. He can actually afford to have one eye on that. Whereas
if it's a must win, he's playing his strongest.
Of course, but it's not just as serious as that. He can't afford the luxury of maybe leaving one out, looking ahead to
a
difficult Sunday match. Or is it a difficult Sunday match, Ross County away?
Listen, any away game in the Premier League's difficult. If you go up there half at it,
you'll have a problem.
Aye. Like Rangers went a couple of weeks ago. For the first whistle, they were bang on it. I think if Rangers and Celtic, I know we're talking about Celtic here, Celtic go up there and they're bang at it, they win the game.
So what do you think? Do you expect him?
I think he'll play a strong team. He might leave out one or two, but I think he'll go strong.
And I think from what I saw the first leg anyway, Celtic could make a couple of changes and still be strong enough to get the result against Rennes.
Again, they've got a strong bench.
Mm-hmm.
They've got
I wasn't particularly impressed by them. I think Celtic looked like the stronger side in the first game.
I think they'll beat them.
Mm-hmm.
I think Celtic will beat them. But I'll go back to what you're saying. I think when you're in a good place and everybody's fighting fit, you keep the same core, 8-9 players.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're in a good place.
I think that's what Neil Lennon is kind of, that's the way he does it. He's not a great guy for wholesale changes.
Listen, we'll find out tomorrow night, but I think that's the
way. Put it this way, I can't ever see Neil Lennon's team sheet being affected by sports science. A sports scientist telling him that this guy might
see,
get in the red.
See, these guys, they play three games a week. They're tuned up to play three games a week. They're looked after to play three games a week.
Professional athletes. Oof. That's what they're there to do.
100%.
Feyenoord Rangers, Barry.
Yep.
Interesting for a number of reasons. One, because unlike Celtic, Rangers have still got to try and earn their place in the knockout stages.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting also because the guy who really propelled you as a Rangers player and you know, said he was wanting to build his side around you will be in the opposite dugout.
Mm. I can't believe he's still going. I don't know.
It's unbelievable.
Yes, isn't it? I've only got unbelievable things to say about him. Unbelievable coach. Man management, I thought, was second to none. And a lot of people see him as that wee grumpy general at the side. Ah, he was. But he was a demanding, oh my God. Demanding.
But he's a good guy as well.
Oh,
there's
a great
guy.
By the way, there's a funny side.
There's a side to him that not many people get to see.
Yep. And when you get on that side and when you see it, it doesn't show it in public.
Mm-hmm.
But running about the boys, he was a funny character.
Droll, wasn't he? Droll.
He was a funny character. But I liked him. I just loved the way he went about things in training. Always got to bat at 100%. 100%.
See, when you look back in your Rangers career, if it wasn't for the arrival of Dick Advocaat, do you think that it might have been different for you? Because you see so many kids
you can never
get
tell.
Near the first team at the Old Firm and then go a different road.
You can't tell.
I'm looking at John Fleck, for example, who's playing now, who's finally got to play in the Premier League in England.
Where he should be.
Where he looks absolutely tailor-made for it,
yep,
by the way.
He is.
But it's taken him such a time to get there. I mean, had Dick Advocaat not come in that particular summer, it might have been different for you.
I just think my style of play suited his style of management. That was it. I mean, you could bring somebody in who wanted to go with experience. He filled the team with experience, but also he seen. But people have got to remember, he seen 6 months of reserve games.
That's the interesting bit. A lot of people won't realise how meticulous he was.
Oh, he had. Probably he knew he was coming, I think, December time.
They made the announcement.
I think it was November, December time. And at that stage, he had every game videoed. He watched every single first team game, every single reserve game, every single youth team game.
And he knew the name of every player.
Aye, that's what I could not believe. He knew every player by first name. No, normally, you would probably know that by first team players. But he knew reserve players, he knew youth team players. So he was, obviously, he was setting himself up for 6 months, seeing everybody run about the club. And I had broke into the first team at that stage. I'd played a few games, and obviously I understood there was obviously pressures. With 10 in a row. And you've got to come out, and I went back to the youth team, which is disappointing. But then when you got older, you totally understand the reasons why you've done that.
At what point in the build up to that Dick Advocaat's first season do you get the phone call with somebody to
March,
tell you?
March, April, when I signed a new contract.
So it's David Murray that's telling you this?
Aye, I got offered a new contract.
Talk me through that. And How that must have felt for a young kid to be A, offered a new contract, but B, told
to be offered a long term contract and to be told that he's want to build a team round about you, but there's a difference in want to
and actually the reality
actually
of doing it.
I've got to do it. So that gave me great pride in that a manager of his ilk wanted to sign me on a 5-year contract, but also at the back of my mind, it's not getting handed to me on a plate that, aye, right, do you know what?
That's it.
If you have a shit pre-season, you're still going to be playing. I see there's something in you that I can build a team around about you. Now you've got to go and prove to me that you are my number six.
Exciting, though.
Oh, exciting, aye. So I went away in the summer and obviously you go on your holiday, but you're buzzing, couldn't wait to get a, honestly, it was the longest 2 months waiting for pre-season to start, and I just get in, and as I says to you, there's a difference in somebody saying, believing in you, but you've got to go and prove it, you can't just get things.
It's not just that, because over that summer, some very good players are getting signed, so I wonder if you're looking going,
I'm thinking to myself, oh, yes, wait a minute. If they just signed me in a longer contract, maybe to get $100,000 or $50,000 for me and sell me to somebody else.
Because in comes you over in Broncos.
Aye, and I'm like, Big Albert's just still there, and I think to myself, oh.
Guy was there.
Aye, but so
Claudio Reyna.
It gave me, I always had that wee bit in me for the rejection for you're younger, getting told you're too wee. I had that bit of steel in me. That brilliant of guys behind me. But you just don't get put in for, because he believes in you. You get put in
on merit.
So you've got to show in pre-season. You've got to show at the running. You've got to show at the possession. You've got to show at the passing drills that you're one of the top men. And thankfully he stuck with me. I started the pre-season, I started the league campaign, and then it went on for there.
And his first game was Shelburne away, am I right?
Aye, 3-0 down
at half time,
and I'm thinking to myself, holy shit, man. Oh, I could be straight out of here. But no, just looking about the dressing room, I think, what's going on? Because it was a full new team.
A UEFA Cup qualifier.
But you think about it, it's a full new team, and it was practically 10 days, 14 days.
Was it Tranmere, wasn't it, they played the game?
I done it at Fratton Park. Is it Fratton Park?
No, that's Portsmouth.
What's the name of it? Anyway, it was at Tranmere's ground, and I had 5-10 minutes because he came in and he basically told us, not just me, he told the rest of them as well, you's better get your finger out where it is and show me that you want to be here. And right away I thought to myself,
did you think you were going to get hooked at half time when you were coming off with Pat?
Aye, but then it's good, it's easy, I've done it myself, I've hooked players at half time, but you've got to give them that 5-10 minute period in the second half to see if you get a
lift,
a jolt off them, a jolt off them, whatever you want to call it. And we go to that, we get right away, and it just started for there. We went, and then eventually we won 5-3. I think it was 3-1 at half time.
Is it 3-1? Maybe
I'll need to look back at it, but
I think it might have been. But do you know what's funny? The comparison there to draw with what happened at Spurs last night, Jose Mourinho, who goes into his first European game at home with Spurs and finds himself 2-0 down after about 15-20 minutes. Very similar set of circumstances, and I think from all accounts, the Spurs' second half performance was, again, like that one where the manager gets to work on him.
To be quite honest with you, I don't care. I've always had a lot of time, but when it was similar, the more night he's playing against Rangers, I hope Rangers win, because I want Rangers to win. I don't care what past I've had with Dick Advocaat. Same when we played him in the UEFA Cup final with Zenit. You know what I mean? He was coming on cuddling at the end of the game. I was like, get away from me.
Did you?
No, I was like, what are you up to here? Because I mean? At the end of the day, I want Rangers to win.
That must have been a difficult one. Obviously losing a European Cup final, but the fact that this guy, because let's get it right, as we're saying, Dick Advocaat had you had to do a lot for yourself, but Dick Advocaat plays a big role in the career that you end up
Having?
He played a massive role. I'm never doubting that. But a lot of people forget, it gives you the platform. It's up to you. It's up to you to go and show that you can play in that platform. It's sink or swim time. That's what it is. Now he's putting a young kid in with, for me, they were top players. Arthur Newman's, Van Bronckhorst, Alberts, guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, top quality players. So you need to go in there and show that you can handle.
You belong there.
Aye. And as I says, I know that comes from my background or whatever, but I was like, right, there's no danger I'm going to let this go. So no danger.
So you've just lost the UEFA Cup final and he comes on to give you a cuddle. What does he say? Do you remember?
Oh, I can't remember.
Head spinning.
I just want to go and clap the fans and just get in the dressing room, get a shower and get to, basically. You don't win. It's about winning. You do all that hard work. A lot of people ask me about that. It doesn't really matter. I get beat in the final, so I don't really think, oh, great run, played great.
I know, but just the irony of irony is that Advocaat was there.
That doesn't mean... but we beat Sporting Lisbon, we beat Werder Bremen's, we beat Fiorentina's, who, again, are very, very good teams, but it doesn't mean anything. We get beat in the final.
Mm.
And people might think, that's not very good, but I'm in it to win it.
James Well getting knocked out in the first round, as far as you're concerned.
When you enter things, you enter to win it.
But that moment with Advocaat, can you remember at all what was said?
I just remember him coming up to me and... I think there's a photo where I just did that. I'm just looking away. I just
probably wouldn't
just wasn't interested. At that stage, you get beat in the final. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to look at anybody.
Do you keep in touch with him now?
No, I don't. I'm actually, when he took that job, when I was doing my coaching badges, I had opportunities to go different clubs to go and. That's what you've got to do when you do certainly your pro licence, you've got to go a European visit. But the Irish FA had a good one, like Valencia and Villarreal, so I was right keen on that.
Yes, I wonder why.
I was desperate to go and look at the clubs and study them for a week, and I really enjoyed that. But I was looking at Dick at that stage. I think he was above, I think he was doing like a general manager type thing. Can't remember where he was, but I decided to do the Villarreal.
Mm-hmm.
In Valencia, which I'm glad I did, because it was unbelievable week I had. But I actually might go and visit.
Feyenoord.
I just to go and see for 3 or 4 days.
Some setup.
That just came to my mind. I might do that.
We'll keep you posted then.
I want to see if he still get the same umph.
See if it's the same tempo of training and that sort of stuff.
Because I tell you, listen, you ask any of the players. Look, I know some players don't like him because they didn't play. But that's football. But for me, I thought, as a coach, first class, tactical side there, he learnt me so much. I just used to run about daft. But he learnt me at a young age where to be, what areas to be when weigh the ball without the ball, that sort of stuff. I guess that's for another time, but he was brilliant. And I thought man management skill, he was tough, like hard.
Mm-hmm.
Hard on us. And sometimes I would come away jumping the can thinking, I can't really say the words, but he'd do my head in. But he done it for the reason. Same as Walter Smith and Archie Knox and John Browns and John McGregor's. They did it for a reason. And when you got older, you realise that.
To challenge you and get something better.
I like getting challenged.
Mm-hmm. So,
Rangers will win.
Yeah, it's a long
Rangers
way
will definitely get a point if they win.
Right, okay. Because they are struggling a bit. And that's why Dick's been brought
I'm
in.
Not,
at
I'm not
point.
Just saying it because they're struggling. I just like the way Steven Gerrard's
sets up in Europe.
I mm-hmm. like it. And that's him. And Gary Mack, don't forget, that's them using their European
experience, of which they've got loads.
Aye. Oh, loads.
Frightening.
Jesus, man. They have got so much experience. I just think Rangers are a very good European team and they're a very good domestic team. They're not. So
right, okay.
I think they'll go and they'll get something.
Right, well, before I let you go, we're going to end up this week's podcast. And this is an interesting one because I have to tell you guys, On Saturday, if you buy the Daily Record newspaper, you will find a special pull-out that we have put together and been working on now for a number of weeks. It is Scotland's top 50 current professional players. It's, you know, Barry, what they call the Ballon d'Or. This is the Scottish version. The Daily Record's version, it's the Ballon DR, right? I come up with that. So there's going to be a trophy.
That's
involved.
Why I'm laughing, because it's
it's magic. A Ballon d'Or. So there'll be a trophy involved, the whole thing.
Stop looking at my names. I see you looking across at
I'm going to look. I've got my names here. So not in any specific order, Barry. I'm not going to ask you to give us 50.
No, I'll give you my top 10 players.
But in no specific order.
Be honest here.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you give me?
2 minutes before the start of this.
I'd say five.
Okay.
But look, to be fair, I think I've got the best 10.
Right, go.
I'll be honest with you.
Go.
Morelos.
Yeah, he's in mine.
Ryan Jack.
He's in mine.
Stephen Davis.
He's in mine.
Ryan Kent.
He's in mine. I'm noticing
Alan
sort of
McGregor.
A blue bias here. He's in mine.
And then I'll go Scott Brown.
He's in mine.
Callum McGregor.
He's in mine.
Christie.
He's in mine.
Edward.
Yes.
And that's 9. And I'll give you my 10th.
Yes. Let me guess.
My nephew.
No, he's not in mine. So we've got 9 out of 10 that we've shared with us. Interesting.
Right. But I'll say Lewis Ferguson for the simple fact is, because I like the way he's playing. I think he's matured into a...
He's having a great season.
A very good player, aye.
He does make my top 50, I'll throw that in. Well, I'm not sure he makes my 10.
He's blue bias here, right. I've got 5 Rangers and I've got 4 Celtic.
Right.
So I don't think I've been very biased here.
No, it was just the fact that you were rhymed off the first 4 or 5 that were...
I've wrote them in different orders.
I thought McGregor, Tavernier, Barisic, Golson.
No, but that's... I think if you ask the vast majority of fans, I don't think they'll
go too far away from that. Well, I've got 9 out of your 10. I guess that we've gone in very different orders and there's been good debates at the sports desk about it as well. So yep. There will be the ultimate defined top 50 available in this week's.
Can I get your top 10?
Yes.
Right, give me your top 10.
What, in order?
Aye, I'm letting you away. I've gave you my top 10.
You didn't give me an order.
Well, you don't need to give me an order.
I will give you an order.
Oh, there you go. There's an exclusive.
I've got in 10th place Ryan Jack. I've got number 9 Alan McGregor. I've got in 8th place Callum McGregor. In 7th place Kent. 6th place Forrest.
Listen, can I butt in there?
What?
I've got James Forrest.
Mm-hmm.
Or Lewis.
Did Forrest not make your top 10?
No, but...
Okay. Right, so he scored a hat-trick now with Scotland and scored a lot of goals in Europe. He's having a pretty good
season. I think I'm going to go... The 10 that I gave you, obviously Lewis is in that 10 stroke James Forrest, so they can be a double act. Right. No, honestly, right, I like James Forrest.
I think Forrest. So Forrest is my 6th best player in the country. Now, this is probably where we're going to... part company with a lot of people. I'm going to go the 5th best player in Scotland right now, Morelos.
Were you out last night?
No. And bear in mind, this was done some time ago.
Right.
4th, Scott Brown. 3rd, again, people are going to think this is crazy, Edward. And my top 2, in 2nd place, Steve Davis, and in 1st place, Ryan Christie. And I tell you for why. Because... Yes, I realise the headline acts are Edward and Morelos, and I realise that that's the big debate, and I realise that they'll probably come, you know, first and second place in any poll that you have anywhere, because they're the guys that score the goals, they're the guys of the highest value, they are, as I said, headline acts.
You don't explain yourself. Listen, see, at the end of the
midfield
day,
midfield players for me is where the games are won and lost.
But see, at the end of the day, it's your opinion.
Yeah.
Who cares about MDL's
opinion? I'm explaining my opinion.
You gave me 5 minutes. That's my top 10 stroke 11 with James Forrest. And do you know what? It would take me a while to give you 1 to 10 in terms of who I think's a top player?
It's a hard thing. I mean, we get asked, it's a good one. That's easy enough. You actually end up two nights later fighting with yourself, thinking.
You asked me a question to do my all-time best Rangers team.
Yeah, we need that as well.
We'll
save that for the paper.
I'm going to have to be harsh on some of my teammates who I really enjoy playing with.
Yeah.
It's what I think.
The rules, by the way, Barry, for this pull out and for the top 50 is because you could quite easily put 25 Celtic and 25 Rangers in if you were so minded, and then you could back that up by saying, well, see if you guys at Aberdeen or Hibs or Kilmarnock were any better, they'd be in those squads. So the only rule that we introduced was a maximum of 10 per club. So that means that, you know, I think it's fair, safe to say that there'll be at least 20 Celtic stroke Rangers players making the 50, but it does open it up and it becomes interesting.
I've put Lewis in for Young, not just because he's my nephew. I do really think he's come on leaps and bounds.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Scott Allen at Hibs, was brilliant at the weekend.
He's not far out of my top 10, I don't think. Makes my top 20.
Naismith,
he's right up there. Naismith, I've got in 13th place.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to give the rest of it away. But that's
all right. Calm down. But
it's a good argument.
A very good argument. And do you know what? I would need to take a bit of time on that for my number one player.
You can consider between dental appointments, sit down with your wee pad and work it out.
Yep.
And get back to me.
Good man. Thanks for giving me time.
You're very welcome. Right, this has been the Fergie Time podcast, and we'll be back again next week. And at that stage, you will get a full update on Barry's Nashers.
No. They don't finish. They don't get put in until next week.
I know, but this is a work in progress. It will require updates.
Listen, people. Same as the plant-based diet. Can I get this straight? It's no big singing and dancing things.
We'll see.
There's just a few were broke. Few were getting a bit discoloured. Thought time is right. Let's get it sorted.
We'll see how
no
we
worries
go.